news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Coming out, we are talking wrestling for your entertainment, never the other way around. You can follow the show on Twitter at The Rexplex, like us on Facebook, and join the group for some fun discussion. All you have to do is search The Rexplex on Facebook. Email us at therexplex@gmail.com for any questions, concerns, compliments, or complaints. And of course, you can listen to this program on rantemradio.com every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. With that being said, I suggest you listen to every show on the Rant EM Radio Network, including the flagship show of the station, The Rant, every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. with none other than AA and Tony C. On Wednesdays, live Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 p.m. with Phil Rea and Dave Mega Powers. On Thursdays, you have this show at 7, and following immediately after this program at 9, you have the new program, Rant and Wrestling, which I have been enjoying. On Saturdays, of course, the Wrestling Call-In Show at 11 p.m. live with William Morgan, and on Sundays, What Are You Reading Comic Book Show with Surfer and Cobb, Jordan Cobb. My good buddy Jordan, Corn on the Cob, as well as pre and post shows for every pay-per-view. This was a crazy week, especially a wild weekend in wrestling, and there's much, much to talk about. There's a lot on my mind. So I guess we can jump right in with the biggest news of them all, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Everyone is in an uproar about it. Justin Gabriel quits the WWE because he is unhappy with his position in the company. Justin Gabriel, who made his debut in 2010 in the first season of NXT and made his main roster debut as a member of the Nexus, has decided to leave the WWE only on his own terms. The debate and talk about this is that he was close to getting fired, but he wasn't happy with the back and forth heel turns, and he was not happy with his position, and he felt he was underutilized, and already announced Gabriel will be changing his name and working the indies. He has indie bookings already set up, and he will be referred to now as the Darewolf, PJ Black. And the first indie booking that I'm aware of that I got sent to me by Kevin Matthews from Pro Wrestling Syndicate, a little bit of a name drop there, I didn't mean to, that this will be his first indie booking as he will be in a suicidal six-way. Well, let's talk about this whole card that we have. Well, I'll start off with indie wrestling talk and then get into the meat and potatoes. I might throw the potatoes away and just get into the meat. But for indie wrestling talk, we had a huge weekend in indie wrestling. Despite what most people are talking about is WWE and the Rumble, of course, and all the different things that happened. But I'm going to just start it off with that. Pro Wrestling Syndicate presents Frozen Fallout Saturday, January 31st from the Rahway Rec Center, 275 East Milton Avenue in Rahway, New Jersey. There's an autograph signing at 6 p.m. at 8 p.m. live action begins. There will be appearances by Bombshells, Ashley Mazzaro, and Katarina Lee. There will be appearances by Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Larry Zbysko, Raven, and New Jack. We have the TV title tournament, in which we will see Trent Beretta take on the lifeguard. Also, part of the TV title tournament, Chris Payne will be going up against Eddie Kingston. In a tag team action, we have the Rock and Roll Express versus the New Heavenly Bodies. This should be interesting. I still cannot believe the Rock and Roll Express is out there clanging and banging, going up and down the Eastern Coast, putting on these crazy matches. Shout out to Gibson. We have a 30-man on-the-spot title shot rumble. In this match, you pretty much can figure it out. Didn't we just have one of these on the WWE Network? 30 men compete for a chance to win the coveted on-the-spot title shot medallion, redeemable for a PWS title match at any time. Now, this is cool. What this is, it's essentially a Royal Rumble, and the winner gets what is essentially a coin that is similar to the Money in the Bank. So these events are always fun. I just hope that PWS can get some type of streaming service, maybe their DVD game up. They have been on local television, and I know there's a lot of slack and bad response from that, and I know there's a lot of great response from that. They had a great episode 4, but you can only see that if you're living in a certain vicinity, a certain part of the Northwest, which is, I believe, New Jersey, parts of New York, and Massachusetts. But let's continue on with the card. You have, for the PWS Suicidal Six-Way title, the champion Amazing Red versus the Drunken Swashbuckler versus Darewolf PJ Black, a.k.a. Justin Gabriel, versus Brian XL versus CPA versus Bobby Wayward. I kind of see Red winning this. This title jumps around so much, what makes these matches so fun. If you like scramble matches that are actually put together well, PWS has always done a great job of doing this. For the PWS tag team titles, in a rematch, you had the champions, the Reynolds brothers of Alex and Kyle Reynolds, taking on the handicapped heroes, Gregory Iron and Zach Gowen. In a dream fight, you were getting John Hennigan, formerly known as John Morrison, taking on Sabu. For the PWS Championship, you have a Four Corners match, Falaba taking on Dan Moff, taking on Bonesaw versus Mario Bacara. And you also have, in a feud that has elevated to astronomical levels, Kevin Matthews versus Brian Myers, formerly known as Kurt Hawkins, in a no-rope barbed wire match. This will be in Rahway, New Jersey, on Saturday, January 31st. I recommend, if you are in town, definitely check this out, because PWS puts on great shows. I know they get a lot of criticism for different things, but they're my buddies, and they put on great shows, and I always, always push support your indie wrestling. Now, locally here in New Orleans, on Friday and Saturday, Wildcat Wrestling had two gigantic, gigantic events. And I feel that because she was in the building for night one, I had to bring in my co-host for the moment, the beautiful Lexi V.
Mama, thanks. What's up?
What's good, Lexi V?
Just woke up not so long ago because it's my day off, so I can be a bum.
This is the early morning tired version of the Rex Flex. How did you feel about Wildcat versus Reality of Wrestling night number one?
It was a lot of fun. It was they definitely like brought it. It was a good storyline and everything. It was a lot of fun. There were definitely some unexpected moments. There were definitely moments where like you just really wanted to just get in there and start fighting reality or wrestling with Log yet.
Yeah, oh man, my cousin got up in one of the guy's faces from Reality of Wrestling and was just waving the Wildcat shirt in front of his face. This was serious. Booker T did not show up. Of course he didn't, because the Royal Rumble was during the weekend, so Booker T was not going to be there. The biggest story coming out of this is Luke Hawks taking on ROW's Abel Andrew Jackson and the no disqualification. I turned French for a second there, but we like versatility in this. The special guest referee was Stevie Richards. Earlier on in the show, Stevie Richards just popped up out of nowhere. I jumped up to my feet and started clapping, and Alexis was like, "Why are you clapping for this?"
I was just like, "I have no idea who this guy is." Long hair.
And I was like, "You remember the guy with the short shorts and the cutoffs, and he would follow Raven around in ECW, and he was just like the..."
No.
But then he took his shirt off, and Stevie Richards is actually in good shape.
Yeah, he does look good. He just doesn't have much of a voice. I don't know if that was just sickness or what, but he had no voice.
Oh, his voice. No, his voice has always been like that.
Oh, okay. Maybe he just screamed too much. Maybe he went to too many concerts. I don't know. Too many wrestling shows.
It's Raven did it to him. It was this show was awesome. Stevie Richards just popping up, the reality of wrestling taking on Wildcat just face to face in the ring like that. It was dope as hell to see. The biggest shock of the night was Socorro, a Wildcat original, in the no DQ match, taking a chair shot. To Luke Hawks, costing him the match, allowing Abel Andrew Jackson, the Reality of Wrestling original, to get the win.
Yeah, what was that? I can't believe he turned. Like, I want to know the reasoning behind this. Like, I'm ready for an explanation. It's like a Seth Rollins move, basically.
I mean, there's this question. Okay, why did Socorro turn his back on Wildcat?
I don't know.
Why would he turn his back during this time when we're feuding with ROW?
I think ROW somehow convinced him.
That's what I think. It's possibly money.
But yeah, I think so.
And I mean, why would you turn your back on
Luke
Hawks? Luke Hawks, when he's the guy who brought you into the game.
I think Socorro, it's because he's the head of Wildcat. I mean, like
Socorro is a Wildcat original. He trained from the ground up.
Well, maybe he knows some things that we don't, and he's a little ticked off about it, you know?
We'll find that out, but this is why Wildcat Wrestling is so interesting and so entertaining. And the other tournament matches, besides Luke losing to Abel Andrew Jackson, we had Notorious Shane Taylor defeat Minotaur. We also had ROW star Ryan Davidson defeating Socorro, the man who turned, which gives me another question.
Yeah, like, what? Unless that was just for show, and they're like, oh, you know.
And finally, we had one man, Mike Dell, defeating Steve Anthony. They all moved on in the tournament. But the highlight of this night for me was Bestia Se versus El Hijo del Rey Mysterio, a.k.a. Rey Horus, the true Rey Mysterio Jr., the actual son of the original Rey Mysterio. Lexi V, what did you think about this match?
This match was so much fun. It was so flippy and just elegant.
It wasn't not like a Nitro opener?
Kind of, yeah, it was.
And I mean, that
it
came,
was very fast paced.
Yeah, the pace of I'll go out and say it. The pace of this match was so fast and so intense and was such a damn... I mean, they told a story at a fast pace, which is hard to do. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of slowed down the rest of the card.
I think so, too. Like, it kind of, like, they put so much energy, like, in the middle of this card that it almost, like, drained you. It's, like, at the end, like, you were still, like, watching me, so kind of, like,
Yeah, exactly. That's just something that happens with indie shows. And the following night, we crowned the new champion. Well, we missed one part. The return of our favorite.
There's another part we're missing as well.
Buku Dao made his return! And ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to announce that Buku Dao will soon be on the Rexplex to talk about what happened in WWE Developmental. Buku Dao flipped his shit over Booker T. Booker T, pardon me, folks. Booker T pushing him away from WWE Developmental.
Saying that he canceled his contract.
This was
perfectly.
It was a passionate promo that Buku gave. While all in character, people still felt like they were about to cry. It was the next.
The other thing that Wildcat's doing?
Female division.
We got two female wrestlers.
A women division, and also I will have an interview coming up with one of those two females. This is something that has not been done in New Orleans since the 80s. So this is really cool. We have a female division in New Orleans. And both of them were already on Raw.
Oh, yeah.
And SmackDown.
Yep.
She showed me her check from Raw.
I was like, Instagram stalked them both and found it.
Like, these chicks are headed down the right path. The next night, we crowned the champion. We had Shane Taylor take on Ruthless Ryan Davidson. Abel Andrew Jackson defeated Mike Dell. So the finals was Shane Taylor taking on Abel Andrew Jackson. And the winner of this Gold Rush tournament was Notorious Shane Taylor. Who, I have to say, that was the last person I thought would win this tournament.
Yeah, that was definitely an unexpected win, for sure.
Big dude, also very new to Wildcat, but he won this. Because, okay, this is the whole story. It was the Outlaw, Matt Lancey, who was the champion. He had his knee completely destroyed. He might be out for over a year. He had to relinquish the title. When he did that, he handed the title over to Booker T. Yeah. Booker T and Stevie Ray held the title. The Harlem Heat themselves were holding the title. They gave the title to Abel Andrew Jackson. And during this means war, the title was up for grabs. So, what happened was, Taylor emerged successfully. And he's very new to Wildcat. He's not someone who we are familiar with. Yes, I spoke Latin just now. But Shane Taylor emerges victorious from Wildcat 2 nights in a row. This means war for the title. Shane Taylor is your new Wildcat champion. And I want to say a big shout out and congratulations to Shane Taylor for bringing the title back home. And also, I would like to say that I talk to Shane Taylor. I actually talk to him very often, and he will be on this show next week. An exclusive interview from Shane Taylor will be on the Rexplex next week. And while we are at it with independent news, Alberto Del Rio, Al Patron, his Ring of Honor match has been up for speculation about who he will face on the pay-per-view in Las Vegas, but it has now been confirmed that he will be taking on the ROH television champion, Jay Lethal. Upon his arrival in ROH, Del Rio wanted an opportunity to speak with his fans on ROH TV. He proclaimed that he was amongst the best. I think this is going to be a good move for Del Rio. I mean, this could be similar to the whole AJ thing, where AJ Styles is making much more money in Japan and much more on the indies than he was in TNA. And he's personally came out and said that. but we have to look forward. Can Lethal add Patron to his record of historic names that he's put behind? Who do you feel is going to win this? Jay Lethal or the returning Al Patron, Alberto Del Rio, making his second or third match in Ring of Honor?
I don't really know, because I don't really know what's going on with that whole storyline. I mean, based on names alone, you would assume maybe Alberto Del Rio.
I think Del Rio might take it off of... Because if Jay Lethal won the title here in New Orleans. The show that me and Burnt went to, Supercard of Honor in New Orleans, Jay Lethal defeated Tommaso Ciampa. That was WrestleMania weekend last year. So
yeah.
He's to have that title change hands, and the way that they are pushing Del Rio, as a hot free agent, I can definitely see him taking that title. But I thought they would possibly take Del Rio in a world title direction and not the TV title.
Maybe he is going to lose that title so they can push it more towards that, but this is just for show. I don't really know. But why wouldn't you get him over, though?
Well, he needs to be put over.
Exactly.
The thing is, if he loses to... If he takes a loss to Jay Lethal in this match, then pretty much it's going to be him being pushed further down because he came out as a hot commodity and now he's in ROH being defeated by, no disrespect to Jay Lethal, he's great.
They probably will.
So, I think that ROH is going to put the TV title on Alberto Al Patron Del Rio. And with that, before we get into any more Rumble talk, I just wanted to get that indie news out of the way. And with that, we will take a quick break, and we will be right back with more of the Rexplex.
Now, I would like to know, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear this podcast?
Thursday?
On a Thursday?
Thursday.
Thursday.
So?
Sorry, it's upside down.
Oh, Thursday.
Thursday?
That's right. The Rexplex is not moving anywhere. We're staying on Thursdays on Rant EM Radio.
I'll see you on Thursdays, right, guys?
Welcome back to the Rexplex. It is time that we get into the WWE Royal Rumble 2015 results, talk, and much more. In the pre-show match, we had the masters of the WWE Universe, Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, with Natalya and Adam Rose, defeating the New Day of Big E and Kofi Kingston with Xavier Woods. I was actually looking forward to this match because it was supposed to be a 3-on-3 elimination match, which did not happen because there is an injury that Xavier Woods sustained to his the lower part of his leg. I'm not sure exactly what the injury he sustained was. Kofi Kingston took an uppercut from Cesaro, then sent him into a twisting suplex from Kidd. They did the double team finisher. Your winners were Cesaro and Tyson Kidd. That's 0-1 with our predictions as far as me and Rage went. The Ascension, Connor and Victor, defeated the New Age Outlaws, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn looking in great shape. Went for the famous, but... Connor got the blind tag, and the Ascension hit the Fallen Man. It was not really much. What did you think about this match?
I was at work, so I didn't watch it. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, gotta pay some bills somehow.
We had the tag team match for the WWE Tag Team Championships. The champions, the Usos, Jimmy and Jay, defeated The Miz and Damian Mizdow. It was a splash from The Miz. No, Jimmy splashed The Miz, actually. The match you were looking forward to most, Lexi, the Paige and Natalya versus the Bella Twins.
No.
Are you upset that you missed this?
No. I don't really understand their, like, whole Paige and friend dynamic thing that they've been going for since she's been in here. Like, the whole
There's
thing with, like,
There's a little bit of bisexual.
It's... Why do you need to do that, though? Like, not everything a woman does needs to be sexualized.
Channel 44, that's why.
Channel 44?
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
E.
That's no excuse. I don't care. Like, that's no excuse to sexualize something so much. They, like, sorry. Like, reality shows can do what you want because, like, we all know that shit is totally scripted, like, whatever.
Okay,
but,
okay,
like,
okay.
Don't demean, like, the women's wrestling just for, like, a dude.
Yeah, we're in the middle of Rumble Talk, but for instance, how sexy is Candice LeRae?
She's, I mean, sexy? I mean, I don't know, because I don't, like, but she's pretty. She's attractive, but she's not like, look at my tits.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's my whole point. Does Candice LeRae ever play that up?
No, never. Never.
And who would you say is probably one of the best female wrestlers who is not signed to WWE?
Her.
Candice LeRae, easily. She does not have to play that up. The fans know she's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
They know she's good looking.
Well, she's world's cutest tag team.
Yeah, yeah. And so she does awesome by herself without pushing that.
Yeah.
The Bella Twins won this bullshit. All right. Okay. It didn't fucking matter.
I'm so sick of them winning everything. For what? It doesn't do anything. Like, does literally nothing. That's the sad part. Is that the championship, like their diva belt, means nothing. It actually means nothing.
Yeah. Think about NXT.
Yeah.
Sami Zayn is the NXT champion.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte is the NXT women's champion.
Right.
It's not uncommon that you would see those titles being held at the same prestige as one another.
Mm-hmm.
Which is how it should be.
Absolutely.
And that
but, like, it's almost as like, hey, look at these little girls, they're gonna pull around and, like, you know, rub some boobs together and, like, yeah. Hey, there's a belt involved.
Yeah, it's like personality. Like, you don't get with in WWE, it's like what how they portray their women. I mean, this should get to you. It's like they're either.
I think that it's also partially their fault, though. Think about it. Most of these girls, like, I'm going to assume the Bella Twins, like, didn't go into WWE. Or, like, they weren't, like, be like, oh, we're going to be, like, you know, we're going to be the next female champions, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's our dream goal. No, I'm pretty sure that they were both models who happened to stumble upon WWE. And so they're still trying to sexualize themselves because that's all they know how to do.
Yes. You're correct with that.
Like, what's her face? Eva Marie. Same thing. She's athletic as shit. Don't get me wrong.
But she can't work. She can't work a match.
No.
She couldn't work a 12-minute match.
No.
Because she doesn't know ring psychology. She doesn't understand all of that. They brought her in because she was a model. And And then decided to train her afterwards.
So what was the point of bringing her in as a model? Just to stand there and look pretty? Like,
yes,
what
the yes, fuck? Exactly. Vince loves that. Which, I mean, that's why did Reigns win the Rumble? We said this, okay.
But could that also be why, even though Stephanie McMahon is, like, directly related, and
she's
just
doing
married, no, she's just married to Hunter, but Hunter is higher up on the totem pole than her. Have you ever noticed that, like, his title is worth more than hers, even though she's probably been involved behind the scenes way more than he has?
Oh, of course, of course.
Like, yeah. What kind of shit is that? Like, why? Like, if I was her, I'd be like, it's my fucking job, bitch. Like,
no, I think And if anything, I think Steph is pulling Hunter's balls in certain instances, being like, dude, you better do this. And he's
the... Okay, well, if that was the case, then why wouldn't she just do it herself? Like, why would you want to, like, it's bad for two reasons. Like, one, it makes men look like idiots, which some of you are, no offense. And then it just, like, downplays, like, her role, like, as a woman, and, like, it downplays her being a strong female, because, like, that's just sneaky bitch shit. Like, no, not okay.
But Stephanie still represents a strong female.
She does, but I'm just saying, as far as titles go, his is way to be more respected than her title. He is higher up.
God, how did you remember? How did you remember that, and I didn't?
Remember what?
That Stephanie actually held that title.
What title?
That Stephanie was the women's champion.
I wasn't talking about that though.
And Triple H was all about the classic title from Harley Race. That's the title that he wanted, and now it's unified. Man, okay, let's move on.
Also, that would not have anything to do with anything.
We had a triple threat match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. According to Lexi V, that's Triple H's title.
No, it's not what I mean. I meant, like, chief of blah, blah, blah. That title, like, their actual, like, title, like, their actual roles. Like, that's... You know, that's their job title. His is higher up than hers. You didn't know that? Have you never researched this?
Yes, I know that, but... Is it about masculine? Is it about...
I think it has to, 100% no. to do with masculinity. It's... You know?
I mean, we've had this discussion before about... Like, well, why isn't Stephanie the main person running it?
Why
isn't she passed on? If Shane doesn't want to do it, if Shane's going to be in China.
Which is exactly why I said, why does Hunter have a higher title than she does when she's the one who's been there probably a lot longer than him?
Of course she is. And has. But the thing is, dudes don't bleed out of their dicks for 4 days once a month.
That has nothing to do with anything. Like, don't bring, like, biological, like, shit that we can't control into this when it has literally not one thing to do with it.
I know it doesn't, but that was...
That's just cheap shot. And, like, seriously, if you're a dude and you argue that shit, you deserve to be dick-kicked. You actually, no, fuck that. You deserve to be cunt-punted. How about that?
Cunt-punt is great. Any time of the week, as long as you're not the one getting cunt-punted... We had for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship Brock Lesnar, the champion, with Paul Heyman going against John Cena and Seth Rollins. There was a major part of this match where Brock Lesnar was stretchered out, but I think what stood out the most to me in this match was Seth Rollins proving that he could be in the main event spot. Also doing something he did in ROH that I thought he would never do in WWE, which was the Phoenix Splash, which is basically you're on the top rope, your back is facing the opponent, you spin in midair and hit a 450. I knew Seth had this in him. You said Seth. What did you say about Seth Rollins?
In what regards?
Well, okay, I should say Brock Lesnar came out on top. He won this match. But I felt like Seth Rollins has the best showing. What have you been saying about Seth Rollins?
I don't understand what you mean by showings.
Showing, his as far as his performance in the match.
Yeah, he's been doing great. Like, he sounds like he's playing the role of, like, skeezy slime ball.
I find it,
like,
hilarious that
he does it so well, and he's like... John!
John!
John! And, like, it gets into your skin, you're like, oh, I just wish he would shut up, but he's doing it so good. Plus, he's so attractive.
That's why I find it funny that he's one of the, he's the guy that you I think you find most attractive on the roster, but he's the skeeziest, most scumbaggiest dude that they've got.
He wasn't like that the entire time, though. He wasn't like that when I finally figured out who the one of the roster was.
No, he wasn't like that when you first saw him, either. He wasn't like... And then Roman Reigns wins the 2015 year, that's what the year is, Royal Rumble match. And boy, was I naked. Man, people are up in fucking arms about this shit.
Naked?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't really naked. Man, this,
I'm sorry.
People are up in arms, and it's completely unnecessary. Did we not predict a year ago? I'm pretty sure before the Rexplex was even a thing that on Rant EM Radio, we had talked about how Vince wants Roman Reigns against Brock for the world title. And everyone flips their shit. Now, I think this goes to the... this could actually be a smart move in this sense that when you see a movie, a TV show, for instance, and you see a character and that character dies, people on Twitter flip out and they want that character to be brought back to life somehow. If we knew this was gonna happen, don't be so upset.
You should definitely take in your own advice. This one, so angry, and then he's like, "I can't believe Roman Reigns won!" Blah blah blah. I'm like, didn't you know that already? Yeah, but didn't you not know? Why are you so mad? But I just haven't wanted to win. But you knew he was going to win.
Yeah, I knew he was gonna win. I knew he was gonna win months ago. And the thing is, for the Mania main event, I don't think they're going to pull an audible. And Rage and I even said it. We talked about how this will be a repeat of last year's if Reigns wins. And the crowd was pretty fucking harsh. I mean, I was thinking about playing the two crowd reactions back to back so you could hear. But the whole thing was they should have learned from their mistake in this match that they made last year.
Maybe they just have bigger plans that we don't know about or something.
Either that or I wonder if they know that if they piss fans off. I mean, we can go into the whole hashtag cancel the network thing, but if they piss fans off.
I still want to know about that. I haven't read anything about that.
The fans are going to still want to... That's going to still draw intrigue. Mm-hmm. If you are in... Say if you're the guitarist for Metallica.
Okay.
And you're like, we had a great show last night. All the fans were hyped. And then I slipped and fell. And then I'm leaving Metallica forever. Relatively. People are going to want to know what's going on with Metallica.
Yeah, because he didn't just slip and fall and decide to leave.
So it's like, well, WWE did this thing, but people are still going to want to know, and I wonder if that's Hunter's thought process. Because it clearly was not the
Rock. Hunter's or Vince?
No, I think it goes down to Vince. And it's also ironic that it came down last year to Reigns and Batista, and everyone wanted Reigns to win. And Batista tossed him out, and he got booed at the building. Now
why do they keep picking people to get booed then? Like, it seems like to be a new thing. It's like, oh, you win the Royal Rumble? Well, you suck.
But it's not that they necessarily suck. Reigns has potential. It's just that I think
fans... Are they saturating him too quickly?
Fans tend to be gluttons for punishment, it seems.
Yeah.
And no, Vince has been set on Reigns for about 9 months now as being the guy to take the strap off of Lesnar. The person to put the strap on Lesnar is Sable. Because Lesnar's a freak. He doesn't just hunt. Yeah, do you have any other... about the Rumble, about... Rollins did not cash in.
Yeah, When is he? Like, how? I want to know, like, how long he's had that damn thing. I really want to know.
He's had it since Money in the Bank last year, but
Why hold on to it so long? Like, are they just having it now just so he has it? And, like, it just seems like it's kind of pointless. It's like, what's the point if you're never going to use it? Just, you know, it's been a year.
I mean, yeah,
But I guess also it's a waiting game.
But it builds up speculation. It builds up tension. It builds up, you know,
So do you think that, like, okay, like, this is just going way, way back, but totally far-fetched. Do you think that possibly, like, they get Roman Reigns to take the belt from Lesnar, and then they bring up, like, a whole, like, Shield versus Shield member type thing, and then, like, they build up this thing, and then he just finally gets sick of it. He's like, I'm just gonna take it off of Roman Reigns, blah, blah, blah. And then he actually does it. Possibly.
See, no, that's...
Which would be great.
That's a great idea, and a few people have actually proposed that idea, but I don't
think it's gonna happen.
The thing is, because WrestleMania, it's WrestleMania. You need names.
No. I'm just saying after WrestleMania. I'm not talking about at WrestleMania. I know they're not gonna have him take it like at WrestleMania, but they're gonna like create this whole thing that like now that Roman Reigns has the belt, create a feud between the two, and then during whatever Seth Rollins or whatever they decide to, they find, dude, you have to go after this.
But like Brock is leaving.
I don't care about that.
But then you know who's gonna win the fucking title.
So.
Do you?
If you already know, then like you have nothing to be disappointed about. Like you're just gonna have to accept it. Like sorry.
So I mean, you're more of the casual fan who follows the storylines, but I mean, you're smartened up to everything, but. So, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, how do you feel about that as a main event? You don't give a shit?
No. Like, I said, it's like, I'm sorry, you created that yourself. Like, if you have announced that, like, the dude that you have is going to leave, you're putting up it against somebody that you're trying to push, which is pretty, pretty obvious that you're trying to do it. Like, you kind of just set yourself up, and you have no one to blame but yourself. So, if people don't care, it's your own damn fault. Like, you did this to yourself. It would have been way easier if they would have they made him lose the belt before he left, had a couple of matches, and win him and went and showed him down as going weak instead of going out on top. Instead, they're choosing to basically send him out on top.
I fully agree. But, I mean, the one thing is that, though, he broke the Undertaker's streak.
So?
And so that's... That,
I guess it's, like, a big deal or whatever, but, like, that was a year ago. We're on new and different things now.
But it's whoever beats the guy who beat the streak is the top guy.
Right.
And they're going to make Roman Reigns now, it's how it's shaping up to be, beat the guy.
I just want to know what happens whenever it doesn't work. Like, what are they going to do?
The fans are going to shit all over it, and Vince McMahon might die. I mean, there was a hashtag on Twitter, Die Vince Die.
That's really rude.
Yes, it's really rude. I mean, this dude...
You're taking things way too seriously, I mean, and you're trying to wish death upon somebody. Like, you already know what the deal with this stuff is. Like, don't act surprised. Don't be dicks.
We wouldn't be watching this...
Pull your tampon out, okay?
Thank you. We wouldn't be watching this shit if it wasn't for Vince.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, we had that, and we had surprise entrances. I find it odd that RVD was actually advertised, that Randy Orton was backstage, that Bo Dallas was backstage, but our surprise entrants were Bubba Ray Dudley, The Boogeyman, and DDP. I recently downloaded The Boogeyman as a creative character on WWE 2K15. As a joke. Yeah. But I did not... That doesn't mean I want him in a real match. Especially when you had Orton backstage. I would have much liked the spot where...
Where did he go? How long has he been gone for now? I noticed that he's been MIA.
He's doing a movie.
Oh, okay.
You know, that movie that we're not going to watch...
Yeah.
Like every movie.
Well, except for that one movie that John Cena's going to be in, but it's only because Amy Schumer and not him.
Oh, of course they're going to watch that. And the movie that,
Dean Ambrose is in.
Yeah, the Dean Ambrose movie. Dean Ambrose was born to be a rapper.
A rapper?
An actor. I'm sorry, I do both. I'm an actor and a rapper. Sometimes when I try to talk about it, one comes out and the other one doesn't. This Monday, we had Raw snowed in. But still, no, I want to talk about this. Raw snowed in, it was a lot of promos. They replayed the Rumble match. They replayed the Triple Threat. The Triple Threat was fantastic. That is an early contention for Match of the Year. But now, upcoming, we had the Fastlane pay-per-view. And on Twitter, the Authority has been saying, Rusev, John Cena, main event. What? Do you know how this was set up? Press conference. Post-Rumble match. John Cena is talking. Rusev walks in. Set up. Is there not a better way that you could have set this up? Because this is where what's going to happen in this match could possibly be Rusev winning or a DQ or a fuck finish. John Cena is not going to beat him on the pay-per-view before WrestleMania. The Authority has their Twitter account. Triple H challenged Sting to meet him face-to-face at Fastlane. And he also said that Rusev and John Cena will be the main event. What do you think about a Rusev versus John Cena main event, Lexi B?
Well, considering we just had a recap of like the Royal Rumble a few minutes ago, and people are actually chanting for Rusev, so I'm kind of about that. I'm kind of about it, because like John Cena's your top guy, and it'd be like.
No, but Rusev is all in out hardcore heel.
Obviously, but
he's pure. He is anti-American.
So
he's pro-Russian.
Whatever he's doing is no.
You have
right
to understand
now.
The reason they were chanting for Rusev in the Rumble is because they didn't want Reigns to win. The thing
and
is,
still, I mean, here's the thing: how many people hate John Cena?
Exactly. Now, if that is the main event. How fucked up is that going to be that you have an anti-American Russian sympathizer?
They could change going, that, though.
No, there's not enough time. There's not enough time.
I'm not saying before. I'm saying after.
He's going to go in as the face. Cena's going to go in as the heel. It's going to be like that.
Cena needs to be a heel. God damn. He needs to stop playing the nice guy. I want to see him go dark. I don't want to see the superhero anymore. I want to see the villain.
Well, according to the Howard Stern show, he's gone dark before.
Well, he needs to go dark again.
And for other WrestleMania news, following the Rumble, Ziggler... if you're not sure who I'm talking about, Dolph Ziggler took to Twitter and he challenged Daniel Bryan to a match at WrestleMania 31 by posting the following. Yo, DB, was pulling for you, brother. But if you really want to steal the show, hashtag WrestleMania, I'm right here.
And way angrier.
My boy, D-Bry, responded to Ziggler's tweet by saying, I'm in. And Ziggler is continuing to push for this match against DB Daniel Bryan. Furthermore, it's.
Like, I'm not really sure exactly how that works.
Think about last year.
Okay. No, I'm just talking about, can you actually push for something on Twitter? Like, is that something you can actually do, like, in the wrestling world? Like, can that, like, or is that just for show?
It's something you can do now. No, okay. it's.
I'm just curious. I'm sorry. I just didn't really.
No, it's because the interactions actually between them on Twitter have taken off. You can go on either of their Twitters and see it. They're actually. I talked to my homie backstage. There's actually creative plans.
Yeah.
For Ziggler and Bryan.
That'd be great. Those are like two of my favorites.
Because if you're gonna toss us the shit show of Reigns
might
and
well
Brock,
put you the best two together. And
exactly.
Have a damn good fucking match. So basically, they'll be like the CM Punk of this one, like combined linked together.
But I have confirmed from my homie who works in the creative team, and I heard. Remember how I was talking so much about how I could be on the creative team, and there was an opening. And I was told that, no, it is way too much hassle. It's going to strain you and drive you insane, so...
You already get driven insane by this. It'd be perfect for you. Oh. It'd be like the balance for you.
Maybe...
Crazy, you just kill crazy with crazy.
But yeah, he told me that there is indeed a plan for DB... And Dolph Zig.
Is that his new name now? Are we calling him DB?
No, I'm calling him DB and Dolph.
It sounds like, oh, what is that thing? Wasn't that from some movie or like some
Yeah, movie? It was a movie that was on yesterday, DB Cooper.
Yeah. That's good.
Off with the moolah, like DB Cooper. I let her get an outfit, put the end about. Okay, no more rapping. In related news, WWE plans to bring back the Battle Royal match we saw at WrestleMania 30 last year. We don't know if it's going to be labeled the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, but they're planning on having the Battle Royal match at WrestleMania, which is cool because you get to include a lot of guys who don't get time. So, yeah, there you go. That's Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt. I don't know. I mentioned it before. This is an abbreviated episode of the Rex Plex. Did I say plate?
The Rex plate.
We are serving you up some good dishes on the Rex plate, ladies and gentlemen. We are taking one quick commercial break for the sponsors that we don't have. Stick around. We will be right back with the Rex Plex. If we don't show up, then you must have taken it with a grain of cocaine. We'll be right back.
Dirty hair, missing teeth, hit with chairs till you couldn't breathe. Chairs looking great, and I gotta believe you can let the rest of you be out on the street. Balls are home, balls are home. Both the dirty body probably smell like a rose. Up in the ring, didn't care. Probably got puke in Martin's hair. You're a chance to be free, and I gotta believe. Never ever wrestle, you be out on the street. Balls for home, balls for home. Don't you dirty rotten, probably smell like cologne.
That was the Ballad of Balls Mahoney. I got a lot, unusual amount of requests to replay that song on this show, which I find very odd. But we are in the home stretch right now. As I mentioned previously, this is an abridged episode of the Rexplex. I would like to thank Lexi V for being on the program. Of course, we are always thankful for having the great co-host, and you should be thankful for having the host that you have. Nothing on myself, but I want to give a big shout-out right now to AA Tony C. I want to give a shout-out to Rage. I want to say thank you to Lexi V. I want to say thank you to Brett Landry. all these people have contributed to the Rexplex thus far. And next week, we have a huge, huge show. I have the new Wildcat World Heavyweight Champion open to talk about anything. Shane Taylor will be here. And not only that, Rage will be on the show. Lexi V will be on the show. And we will also have Brett Landry back on the show. For anyone who was hoping for a solid 2-hour show discussion about the Rumble, about all of the mishaps and crazy things going on, we touched on it as well as we could, but time constraints are what they are. So once again, I want to thank you all for listening. Stay positive. Love your life. Take care of yourselves.
Because of the beliefs we hold. This has been the Rex Plex. And with this love, combined with our strength, we ward off pain and stress. Technician I am, wholeheartedly, in life.
Okay, I get it, I'm an F.O. and freak of nature, but the pen is gonna heat the paper. Was a problem in the incubator, mama dad was the creature maker. I never need the shaker, the beef from tape word, the teacher later. Now you're the beast awakener, I don't think the streets are safer. My misery seeping through my delivery, bitter we givers and they keep my figures. Don't try to nigger me. The grave digger is hither, he is no kidder. See, consider the dark energy, center be inner me. Black diamonds all around, calling all the down definites. Who saw the clown and now stepping with that tall amount of big tech and shit? Oh, three times, my people, they know what that defines. With the people 11 and that's T9. Here I'ma make a beeline. They bout to hate, made out the grades. They bout to break if they don't pay out the cake. Stay out my face, you don't want me to lay out the fake. Flip the sick to pray that relate, that I'm incredible straight out the gate.
We are the darkness, but we're leaving. We are the gods that are deceiving.
Face of Eva on Technina, evil brain angel heart, I remain in the dark and anointed. With holy they console me when they know we sin. Get a hold of me while they let go of me, I'm double jointed. I'm wicked and I represent the sickness. All you fraudulence feeling, I'm falling, offending the Father. I'll place you in the deepest, darkest part of abyss. Nobody but you and without any food and no agua. I'll blacken the sun on you bitches. Sat in a dungeon and ditch a snap, and it's one of your glitches halted. The cracking has come with the quickness back, and I'm plundering chicks and laughing. Your dummies trip with exalted Tech 9. Fuck the industry, independence. We enemies to them and he that's blind. The champ is here, the vamp is near. Hunting you heathens, hella hungry, and I'm amateur here.
We are the darkness, but we're leaving. We are the gods that are deceiving. We are the painters of blind faith. We are the children of your rivals, holding guns while reading Bibles. Go ahead and seal your face.
Straight out the gate.
I am the public enemy number one. Fuck your fame, I became the name of a gun. Now the parents hate Aaron because their sons and daughters wanna be martyrs, believing in my art and it young. All I got is my balls and rap on my paw that y'all want me to fall, call it crap. Suckers hate it, now they crawling back in some tallest shack, and I'm always up for brawling back. Strange music saved my life. I was fucking it, then the music became my wife. Nobody on this planet can change my mind. Call me crazy, don't matter. Fucking insane, I like.
When the sun's beam melts, everyone screams help. Then only one king's felt when telling all survivors, welcome to something else.
And I say Kansas City, Kansas City. We'll always stay in Kansas City, Kansas City. Yeah, this is something else, baby. Let's go.
We are the darkness, but we're leaving. The gods that are deceiving. We are the painters of blind faith. We are the children of your rivals, holding guns while reading Bibles. Go ahead and seal your face.
Straight out the gate. music.